Helen obviously has her instructions from John. Well, dear Church of Jesus Christ, happy birthday. Today is the Church's birthday. And we share that birthday, as I discovered when I went on Google, we discovered our birthday today with Kylie Minogue, one-time Neighbours actor and now the highest-selling Australian singer. We also share it with William Pitt the Younger, the UK's youngest Prime Minister from 1783 to 1806. And again, we share our birthday with Ian Fleming, author of the James Bond books. Something I read all of them, I think, in my youth. And we share it with Thora Hird, comedian and actor. We share our birthday with Phil Foden, who will be really celebrating today and probably hoping to celebrate the rest of the week, who is the Manchester City footballer. For those who don't know football, Manchester City are looking to win everything this season. We share our birthday with Clough Williams Ellis, the designer of the Portmyrian village, location of the 1970s TV series The Prisoner, and even all these years on, I still do not understand that television programme. And we share our birthday with David Baddiel, comedian, television presenter and author. Birthdays. Well, we all like birthdays, don't we? I mean, especially when we're young, but of course now as we get older, those round numbers, 60, 70, 80, 90, actually we're pleased, aren't we, to celebrate long life and to reflect on all our experiences. At 100, if we're spared, as my principal used to say, we will receive a telegram from the King. Well, today we celebrate the Church's birthday, nearly 2,000 years old, and God's birthday gifts through the Holy Spirit to the Church. Gifts of speaking about Jesus, gifts of healing, caring, providing for others, and producing God's character in Christian lives, like patience, faithfulness, self-control, and most of all, love. Well, on the day the Church was born, as we've been reading on Pentecost, the wind of fire, the wind of the Spirit, tongues of fire, there was a vivid demonstration of God at work, which they all rejoiced in. And they rejoiced to be part of this wonderful, charismatic community, and they vowed to become members of this lively group rather than the local synagogue, which was all dull and boring, of which they were a part. Well, not quite. They all spoke in other languages, and everyone from all the countries present understood what they were saying about God. They discovered that God was speaking to them in their own language, in their own tongue. Peter preached a powerful sermon to the crowds, proclaiming the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and invited the crowd to repent, to be baptized, and to receive the Holy Spirit. Then those who gave their lives to Jesus sought to understand more about Jesus. They ate together, they prayed together, they shared their wealth with each other, they sold their property and provided for the poor, and the Church grew. Not quite our typical evangelical church of today. At the birth of the Church at Pentecost, Peter first has to address the slanderous attack of overindulgence in alcohol. Rather, he says, this is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. These people aren't drunk. I mean, good gracious me, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They haven't had time. This is actually Joel's prophecy, that God would pour out his Spirit on sons and daughters, on young men who would see visions, old men who would dream dreams, on servants, men and women. And so Peter says, this is what it's about. This is how God would be experienced by all who trust in God's promises and purposes. And Peter told the story of Jesus' life and ministry, his crucifixion and his resurrection, all of which demonstrated who Jesus is. And Peter concludes with a stark and challenging message, which we might paraphrase as this: let everyone be sure of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you have ignored, both Saviour and Lord. The crowd, having heard the gospel message, say, well, what should we do? Well, Peter's answer's pretty straightforward. Believe the message, take God as his word, recognize our mess, our flawed and damaged lives and relationships, and express real sorrow and regret for past mistakes and failings, and set our minds on putting things right and change our way of living. The challenge is to die to self and to live for Christ, to know God's presence with us in all things and at all times. Here then is an appeal from the heart of God. He's calling us into a relationship with himself, a relationship that promises renewal, healing, and fullness of life. In fact, he's calling us to share the very life of God. It's a call for us, the drifting, wandering people of God, to recommit ourselves to this relationship in a deeper and a more meaningful way. It begins with a sincere turning back to God. There's a need to turn around. This is what repentance means. The people had turned their backs on God and we're moving away from God. And repentance is the conscious turning back. Turning back with clear signs of regret and penitence. God's call to us and to the world remains the same. Repent, turn around, turn to God, find restoration, know renewal. There's no such thing as cheap grace. Renewal and restoration come by way of repentance. It's the pattern that we see: cross, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. Restoration and renewal come through repentance. It is, as Jesus said, deny self, take up the way of cross-shaped sacrificial love, and follow me, says Jesus. And when God pours out his Spirit on all human beings, he'll be starting something new and something powerful. All God's people will have the power that previously had only been for special people, the prophets. Everyone will receive the presence and power of God without distinction of sex or age or social status. Joel presents us with a vision of a society created as the gift of God's Spirit, in which old and young, men and women, slaves and free, will share equally in the life-giving, empowering gift of God's Spirit. This new society, new people, new community, with new life, new power, new love, is what the church is meant to be. Through Christ, the promises to Israel, prophesied by Joel, are extended to all human beings. The crucifixion, resurrection, and outpouring of the Spirit together fulfill God's promise to help, to forgive, to restore, and to renew. What might this mean for God's world? We can think about the environment and God's call to care. God created and entrusted the earth and will redeem the whole of creation, as Paul writes about the gift of the Spirit changing people in Romans 8. Creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. creation is brought back into a relationship with God through the cross, and it takes place when human beings find their restored relationship with the Creator through the cross. There is a need to be reawakened to the gospel ethic and recognize that human greed is the root of the environmental crisis. Think orange. Think orange powder at the Chelsea Flower Show or at the Snooker World Championships. But please, don't go running around with orange powder. Just understand and perceive the situation and move to a change of heart or mind that is repentance empowered by the Holy Spirit. Steps that we take in sustainable consumption, which involve our ethical choices in what we buy and how we live. We will need to recognize our ecological footprints on the earth, our impact on the local and global environment. But the good news that we celebrate today in this Pentecost season is the offer of restoration and renewal in Christ. And it all begins with our response in repentance. And God invites us to his birthday party. Invites us to share his vision for the world and for the way we live. Invites us to dream with him his dream for seeing the world perfect again as it was at creation. Invites us to join with his transformative revolution for the human race, where all will live in peace and justice. Welcomes us to his party celebrating the goodness of creation. Invites us to trust in his promises. Draws us into the future that he's preparing for the whole universe, when there will be no mourning, no crying, no pain. And assures us that nothing can separate us from his love, which is ours in Christ Jesus. We're invited into God's family to share God's best way of living. And Pentecost opens the way for life in the Spirit, for renewal. But without our birthday present, without the Spirit's power and presence in our lives, how will we preach, teach, evangelize, witness, serve, love the unlovely, be full of joy and peace, and be self-controlled in the face of all sorts of awkward folk like us? But in Christ, renewed by the church's birthday present of the Holy Spirit, we can join the party celebration. We can share the vision. We can enter the mission. We can know the promises. We can read and understand the story. We can be part of God's transformative revolution. We can be part of the family of God. This is the party for kingdom people, God's revolutionary church, whose lives are transformed and who together can transform the communities where God has placed them. Happy birthday! Please open your birthday present. Amen.